Yeah.
So Rabbi Moshe, good morning. And we want to continue and maybe complete Din Varei Din Safek. Yesterday, we spoke about the Sugi of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. And I left this Reb Chaim at the end of Shir. Let's just review the question of Reb Chaim and maybe perhaps the answer of Reb Chaim. We can finally decipher it. Reb Chaim finds, as usual, Kedarko B'Kodesh, Astira in the Rambam. On the one hand, the Rambam in Perek Vav, Halach Yir Aleph, of Hilchas Yontif, clearly paskins that Yontif Sheni is B'Toras Vadai. And based on this, the Rambam says the following. I'll just read you the language of the Rambam inside. It's Kedai to hear it again. And he says the following. He says, Shnei Yomim Tovim Shecholu Lios Bechamishi Ubierev Shabbos. So he's got Chutz Laretz, he's got Yontif is on a Thursday and a Friday. Ose Erev Tafshilin Miyom Revi Shu Erev Yontif Umasnani makes a T'nai. In other words, Mimonafshach, this Erev Tafshilin will be effective, will be meaningful. Again, this is all when Bezdin was Makadish the Chodesh, Alpiriya,
right,
as the Rambam is going to qualify very shortly. But let's understand the Tanai in theory, and let's assume that Yontif Sheni is B'Torah Sofik for the time being. So where's the Mimonafshach? Meiniach Eruvei Tafshilin B'Yom Chamishi. So on that first day of Yontif, he organizes, he sets up an Erev Tafshilin, the Omer. Im Hayom Yontif, Ulamachar Chol, is Ulamachar Avashel, L'Shabbos V'Yeni Tzor Klum. If tomorrow, Friday, is Chol, then of course I can bake and cook on Friday for Shabbos, that's no problem. But Im Hayom Chol Ulamachar Yontif, is then be Erev Zeh Yutarli, then today becomes Erev Yontif, Thursday, and then Friday is Yontif. And now I have an Erev Tafshilin, an Erev Yontif, which allows me to cook and bake from Erev Yontif straight through to Yontif and even for Shabbos. Then the Rambam says, Kol Dvarim Hamurim Bizman Shal Yabes Hamig Bezdin Shal Eretz Yisrael Mekadshim Alpi Hari'iya. I'm going to try to pronounce it clearly because Sam, you didn't understand me yesterday, so maybe today I'll do better. Ubnei Agolios Osim Shnei Yomim Kidei Lehistalik Minasofik. Because they didn't know exactly when the Bnei Eretz Yisrael sanctified the Yontif, the Rosh Chodesh. Aval Hayom, he says, Shebnei Eretz Yisrael Somchen Al HaChesbin U'Makadshin Olav Ein Yontif Sheni Listalek Min HaSofek El Minog Bilvad. It would seem clearly from the Rambam that Yontif Sheni in our time is B'Toras Vadai. It's no longer B'Toras Sofek. U'Lefichach, says the Rambam, Ani Omer She'ein Ma'ariv Adam U'Masne Bizman Hazeh B'Erev Tafshilin, etc., etc. So the Rambam rejects this T'nai, which was very meaningful as long as Yontif Sheni had a din of Safek, but today it's a din Vadai, and therefore the T'nai is out. So Reb Chaim points out that the Rambam seems to contradict himself, because this halach of T'nai applies also with regard to Nolad. And that's in the Rambam Perek Aleph Milchus Yontif, where the Rambam paskins that Nolda Bazeh Muteres Bazeh. So the chicken laid an egg on the first day of Yontif, correct? And what's the din in such a case? Well, the halacha is that you need hachana, and Yontif cannot be mechin l'chol. However, Mimonafshach, one of these 2 days is Yontif, and the other day is Chol. So we apply the same T'nai, the same kind of logical Mimonafshach. And we say the following. If today is Yontif, and Yotiv can't be Mechin for Chol. Well, tomorrow is Chol, and if tomorrow is Chol, then there's no Isur Nolad. And even if tomorrow is Yontiv, then today is Chol, and therefore Chol is Mechin Yontiv. So Mimonavshach, we have a Heter. Now, Reb Chaim asks the obvious question: if the Rambam has already established in Hilchus Yontiv Perek Vav that the din of Yontiv Sheni Bisman Azez B'Toris Vaday, then both days are Vaday Yontiv, and you wouldn't say Nolda Bezeh Muteres Bezeh. Just like, for example, on Rosh Hashanah, where we have the din of Yom Arit, we don't say Nolda Bezeh Muteres Bezeh. So, in Reb Chaim's answer, he presents the thesis which I think is antithetical to the thesis that the premise that we've been operating in the Rambam. But again, we'll try to see if it all fits into place later on. And then Eino Chinami, says Reb Chaim, D'me'ikra din shnei yomim tovim shel golios lo asom sheyinugu shneim k'achas b'toras vadai. They never established that both days are considered Vada Yontif in the Takon of Shnei Yomim Tovim. Rak sheyinagu shneiem b'toras sfeika, but rather we should consider both of them as sofek. The afal gav, even though you'll ask me the question, says Reb Chaim, the achshav harei yad'inan b'kviyusa diyarcho, then it's really not a suffix. We know exactly which day is Yontif because we rely on the calendar. Mikomakom dinam, dinam rak kisveika. Why? Kevan de ikara takana. We're only extending the original takana meikara. Haisa bi suffix. And now, midagavosenu biyadenu. We are extending the din of suffix, and therefore Yontif Sheni is suffix. Okay. Now Reb Chaim has to deal with the question of Hasna, meaning the Erev Tavshilin case. After all, the Rambam says Bizman Hazeh, we don't have the option of Hasna. If even Bizman Hazeh, as an extension of what it was in the original Takana, Yontif Sheni is a Sofik, then the same Mimon of Shach of the Tanai should operate even Bizman Hazeh. Oh. So here's where Reb Chaim makes the following distinction. He says the following. He says, Kol zelo shayach el al din yontif sheni shel golios. In other words, if we could isolate yontif sheni, then we could say it has a din of a suffix. That's not going to help you for yontif rishon, because hashta, now that we have the calendar, leka sveka, we know that the first day of yontif is definitely yontif. Vadai zeus mano shel yontif, vu yontif shel Torah. Im kein, hare vadai. No one could ever question that if I isolate the first day of Yontif, any din that reflects that day itself is certainly B'toras Vaday. Ein shum srach din sveka klal upashut. Okay. How does that help us? V'im kein ha-nimtza the din Yontif shel golios achshav dino chaluk. What exactly is the status of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios? He says it depends. Im banu ladun li Yontif Rishon bifnei atzmo kedino bazeh pashut dareu chashuv vada Yontif. In other words, the status of Yontif Sheni as a suffix can in no way implicate or impact on Yontif Rishon as far as Yontif Rishon as a separate independent entity is concerned. Now, im banu ladun litztaref im hasheni, if the din is that I want to integrate both days as one entity, that's what he's going to do in the case of Nolad. In other words, now when I'm creating a relationship, a comparison between the first day Yontif and the second day of Yontif, in that context, I have a right to say, Sofek, I don't know which day is Yontif. So again, if I'm isolating the first day in and of itself, that's for sure Vadai. That's Yontif Doraisa, and there's no question about that. But if I'm taking the 2 days together as one entity, then what I'm allowed to say is, I don't know which of these 2 days is Yontif. And that's the way the Takan applies even Bizman Hazeh. Vinkain gam harishon le'inyan. No, it's relative to tzirufo and hasheni. And so far as I want to take the rishon and ask, well, what is it as in the context of an integration with Yom Sheni, harei rak kesafek. So again, it's safek only with regard to the general question on the 2 days as one unit. So the question is now, when do we apply the principle of a safek on both days together, and when do we split the days into two? That's going to be, according to Reb Chaim, the difference between Erev Tavshilin on the one hand and Nolad on the other. And he says the following: Lefi ze shapir cholik din hasno mi din nolad. Why? To be din nolad ha iser nase mishnei ayomim biyachad. This is the chap of Reb Chaim. I didn't understand this yesterday. It means the following: that the iser is not one day unto itself. The iser is nolad because I take the 2 days in context. And one day cannot prepare for the other day, insofar as one day is Yontif, and Yontif can't prepare for another day of Yontif. He says the following: Kahu Iker Isura Denola. The definition, fundamentally, of the Isur Nolad is the following: Masha Nolad Biyontif, Osur Biyontif. Umikoach Shneim Yachad Dafka Huda Ka'asi Isura. Kishaanu boim ladun lesar mashanola biyantif rishon liyantif sheni. If the chicken gave birth and laid its egg on the first day of yantif, now I want to know if it's asur b'toris nolad on the second day, then what I have to do is I have to ask myself the question, well, which of these 2 days is yantif? If the second day is yantif, then there might be an Iser Nolad. If the second day is Chol, then there is no Iser Nolad. So in that context, I have right to schlep in the first day into the Safek and say the following: that if the second day is indeed Yontif, and that's why I want to Aser the egg that was laid on the first day on the second day, because I say the second day might be Yontif, so then I go back to the first day and I say, well, the previous day was Chol. In other words, I can only Aser the second day in the context of the first day, because the whole Safek on the second day is chal as a result of the first day. Rak mikoch din yontif shel shneim ka'achas hu shanu boim ladun uli osro utzrichim anu litzarfenu l'shnei ayomim yachad l'mishavinu travayu yachad l'vada yontif la'ashve l'isurei din nolad ze mize. He says the following. Again, fundamentally, the din of Yontif Sheni is Bitoras Safek. Is it not? That's the way he's learning the Rambam. Even though Bizman has said we know exactly when the Kiddush was, but nevertheless, an extension of the original Safek. Now I have to ask myself the following question. This egg was laid on the first day. And now, what am I saying? I want to know whether... Let's get the case Nolda Bazeh, Muteres Bazeh. That what? That if the egg was laid on the first day, then it's Mutter on the second day. Why is it Mutter on the second day? After all, maybe it became Mukta on the first day. Well, Mimanafshach. It can't be that it's Mukta on the first day, and it's also therefore on the second day, because the second day is only a suffake insofar as maybe the first day was not Yontif. If the first day was not Yontif, then maybe there could be a Nisa Nolad on the second day. Meaning, the basic Iser of Nolad here could only be determined by taking both days into consideration as one whole. Okay, then now he's going to get to Hasno. So Rabosai, let's just review and make sure that we have the mathematics. It works like this. Nolda Bazeh, Muteres Bazeh. Sam, do you have an extra copy by chance just to lend him? Yeah. Okay, great. Because I know Javi likes to get the sheet, so here you have the sheet. Right? So what are we saying here? We're saying that there's no way possible within the context of Sveika Diyoma that if the chicken laid the egg on the first day, that it could be nolad and muktza on the second day. No way possible. Why? Because if the first day is Yontif, so then okay, you know, you can ask for the first day, but the second day is not Yontif then. And if the second day is Yontif, then yesterday wasn't Yontif. The only reason I could aser Nolad on the second day is because the egg that was laid yesterday was a hachana of Yontif to today. But yesterday can't be Yontif because I'm only saying that today is Yontif because maybe today is Yontif and yesterday is not Yontif. So within the context of that suffix, I can only create an Isur Nolad on the second day if I assume that the second day is Vaday. And the Rambam holds the second day is suffix, and that's why Perek Aleph Milchus Yontif Paskins Nolad Vazeh Muteres Vazeh. That's clear. Oh, Masha Ein Kein Le'in Hasna. When we get to the issue of Erevin, Afal Gav, even though logically, if we analyze it, Im Chad Minayu Cholhu, if one of the 2 days is Chol, either Thursday or Friday, in Kemi Manavshach Mutul Lefos Miyom Hasheni L'Shavis, whichever way you slice the cake, you're allowed to bake on Friday for Shabbos, because Omi Shum Erev Tavshilin, if Friday itself is Yontif, then he made the Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yontif, namely on Thursday. Oh, alternatively, if we assume that Thursday was Yontif, Mishum Davi Yasheni Chol, then Friday is Chol. So logically, certainly the Erev would work, and we only need it just in case Friday is Yontif. But on the other hand, if Friday is Yontif, then the Erev of Thursday is valid, is meaningful. And if Friday is Chol, then I don't need an Erev. So that on a pure logical level, says Reb Chaim, I have to admit that the Miman of Shach of Hasnah should work. And Ein Hachinami, that's going to work at the time of Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah. Avol Harei B'emes Shnei Dinim Nifradim Heim. V'chol Yom V'chol Chad Daininan Lei Bifnei Atzmo Kol Yom Bifnei Atzmo V'ein Kan Din Hanasa Mishnei Hayomim Yachad. When I look at this issue of the Eruv, then I have to take each day separately. For example, I have to ask the question whether or not the first day is Yontif. And if the first day is Yontif, then it's already too late for an Eruv. Right? This Eruv Lechora would only be meaningful if either the first day is Chol or the second day is Chol. But now I have to determine the status of the first day as a separate entity, because on the tzad that the first day is Yontif, although I don't need an Eruv, because the second, as we said logically, because the second day is Chol, and I don't, therefore I can bake on Friday on Chol for Shabbos, but nevertheless, I have to know whether or not I can make an Eruv on Yontif. And therefore, Isrami Milsa, it's true that there is a coincidence here of the 2 days that creates a logical, a compelling argument that the Erev is certainly meaningful, but Mikevon de'ikar dinam havyon shnei dinam nifradim, we're not paskining on both days together, but rather we're paskining on each day bifnei atzmo. So if when we get to the first day, we want to determine whether or not the Erev is meaningful on the first day. And the answer is, you don't make an Erev on Yontif, you have to make an Erev to start your cooking for Shabbos before Yontif. That's the whole Yisod of Erev. Is in Cain, therefore he says, Shuv Hadar Dina de Barishon Hu. Now we have to analyze the first day and its status in and of itself in order to get the Erev off the ground, get it up and running. Uvada Yontif Hu. We know that the first day in and of itself, independent of the second day, is Yontif. Is therefore Ein Bo Erev. It doesn't have the status of an Erev. So having seen Reb Chaim in Hilchas Yontif, we come to the conclusion that Reb Chaim understood that even according to the Shitas HaRambam, Yontif Sheni Bizman Azeh is B'Torah Sofek. And that's what Reb Chaim proves from Nolda Bazeh Muteres Bazeh. What remains difficult according to Reb Chaim is how to interpret the Rambam in Hilchus Yontif. Okay, because again, let me read to you the Rambam's language. He says, etc. He says, "Aval hayom shebnei Eretz Yisrael somchen al hacheshbin umekadshin olav ein yontif sheni listalik min asofek." Now, according to Reb Chaim, the main point here is a little bit missing from the sefer, because what the Rambam should have emphasized here is that even if the second day is b'tar sofek, but I have to deal with the first day in and of itself as a separate independent unit, and the first day surely today is b'tar vaday. So I think what Reb Chaim is pushing in a little, I think it's a little bit of a push in the Rambam, tell me if you agree, when the Rambam says the words, quote, umekadshim olav, that we rely on the cheshvin, the ein yontif sheni listalik min ha-sofek, I think what he means to say is that the first day is b'taras vaday, meaning back in the time of Bezdin Shal Eretz Yisrael Mekadshim Al period, then Yontif Sheni was b'taras sofek, and if so fact the Yontif Rishon is also b'taras sofek, the first day is also a sofek. But what the Rambam really wants to emphasize is that today b'zman hazeh, since we don't have a sofek, therefore Yontif Rishon is vaday Yontif. That's a bit, I think, a bit of a push. Okay, but now let's get down to grapple with the main issue. If we assume that the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, is whether or not Yotif Sheni is b'toras vadei b'toras sofek, and again that would be our presentation without Reb Chaim, then I have a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos here that I don't understand. The Gemara says the following, on Daf Chav Gimel, I'll give you the Gemara in a second to look over. The Gemara says that we make a bracha on Ner Chanukah, even though it's a mitzvah midivrayim, the same way we make a bracha on Erevin, the same way we make a bracha on Megillah, based on this pasuk, based on that pasuk, whatever it might be. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Amram. The Gemara asks from a brayse. It says, "Dmai is mafrishin oso orum." He's naked and he's being mafrish dmai. What does that mean? If he's naked, he's being mafrish dmai. What is he leaving out? Obviously, the bracha, correct? For beinon v'oyim machanecha kadosh v'leka. He can't make a bracha when he's naked. Apparently, he doesn't make a bracha. And you just told me that on a mitzvah drabbanon, like Ner Chanukah, like Megillah, we make a bracha. Why don't we make a bracha on Hafrashas Dmai? So here we have a machlokas between Abaye and Rafa. Amar Abaye, Vadai didivreyem boy bracha, Safek didivreyem lo boy bracha. When the takona of the Chachomim was b'toras sofek, we don't make a bracha. Dmai is a sofek, and therefore we leave the bracha. That has nothing to do with Megillah and Chanukah and Erevin. All these Netil Sidaim, all these were mitzvos b'toras vada. In a vada divrei is enough to generate a bracha, but not a sofek midivrei, and therefore dmai doesn't get a bracha. So the Gemara asks the kash on Abaye v'ayontiv sheni the sofek midivreiemu. Uboy bracha. And again, when the Gemara says boy bracha, you can list all the brachos that the Gemara has in mind. When we enter into Yontif Sheni, we make kiddush, that's a bracha. The next morning, we're going to daven musaf, and that's a bracha. Shechianu, okay, I don't know. You have to figure out which Yontif you're up to. And then, what about the bracha on Matzah and Maror? What about the bracha on all the mitzvahs that we do on Yontif Sheni? Yeah? So the Gemara answers the following. That Hasam, there in the case of Yontif Sheni, they made a special takona. Really, Abaye's right, that as a Sofek Midivreyem, they would not have established a bracha. There was an extraneous reason, a motivation to establish a bracha on Yontif Sheni, ki eichi delo lezalzule ba. People would be very lax about Yontif Sheni if there were no
bracha. They think, oh, it's not the real thing. Otherwise, we'd be making a bracha. Comes out clear that according to Abaye, Tamai is to be compared to Yom Tov Sheni. Both of them do not generate a bracha because both are defined as a suffek midivrayim. And the only reason we make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni is because of the lol zelzulebe. Then the Gemara quotes Rava. Now, keep in mind that if the Rambam paskins that Yom Tov Sheni b'zman hazeh is vadai, not like Reb Chaim, is vadai, then we're hoping that Rava rejects Abaye for this very reason, and Rambam is free to paskin against Abaye like Rava, namely that Yom Tov Sheni is b'toras vadai. And therefore Rava comes up with an explanation that Demai is the exception to the rule. That Enochinami, we are dealing with a Vadai, but in the case of Demai, the Chachamim lifted the Bracha. And that's why an Orem is allowed to be Mafrish Demai. So what's the special reason why, according to Rav, they omitted the Bracha in the case of Demai? And Rav answers, Rov Ami Oretz Ma'asrin Hem. Meaning you want to be Mafrish Dmai with a bracha based on the fact that maybe this guy who's selling you the produce, this Am Oretz was not Mafrish, but chances are that he was Mafrish. And you're going to go ahead and add another Afrasha without a bracha. With a bracha. And what do you mean a bracha? You made a bracha Levatola because in fact he was Mafrish Dmai. You may not know that, but he was in fact Mafrish Dmai. So therefore they relied on Rove, and although they obligated you to do a Maisaf Rasha, but that mitzvah does not require a bracha. So now let's try to figure out how the Rambam is going to conclude. If the Rambam says that indeed Yom Tov Sheni b'zman hazeh is b'toras vadai, then he's rejecting Abaye, and insofar as he's rejecting Abaye, then we understand very well why Yom Tov Sheni requires a bracha. And based on the analogy between Dmai and Yom Tov Sheni, we should assume that in the framework of the Rambam, Dmai is also b'toras vadai. We had a long discussion about that yesterday, whether Dmai is b'toras vadai. Dmai, like Yom Tov Sheni, is b'toras vadai. You'll ask me, why is there a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni and not on Dmai? Dmai likewise should have a bracha if it's a vadai. The answer is Rava's explanation of Rov Ami Ha'aretz Ma'asrim Hen. Okay. Now, we would say the following. The Ravid Shita that we looked at in Perek Vav Mi Hilchas Yom Tov Halacha Yud Beis is that Yom Tov Sheni b'zman hazeh is a suffek. If that be the case, then according to the Ravid, Demai should also be a suffek. Nu, if you'll ask me then, according to the Ravid, why do we make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni and we don't make a bracha on Demai? The answer has to be that with regard to Yom Tov Sheni, Kidei Shalo Lizalzuli Bei, which is Abaye's logic, in other words, the Ravid must be accepting the premises of Abaye. Question is, how does he square with Rava? But that's a question unto itself. And therefore, both Dmai and Yom Tov Sheni are both B'toras Sofek. I, a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni, that's Kidei Shalo Lizalzuli Bei, which is a little bit odd, but what that svara is, but Abaye has that svara. So that's all fine and dandy. Good. Now we have the Asvin Doraisa, and the Asvin Doraisa also wants to know whether or not Demai is B'toras Sofek or B'toras Vade, that's in Klal Vav. And he wants to know if what happens if an individual ate Dmai without being Mafrish And as things turn out, the Amoritz who sold him the produce actually was Mafresh Maaser. Do we say in this case A or B? Do we say A, that now Igloi Milsa, he did not eat Tevel, because in fact the Metzius is that the Amoritz who sold him was Mafresh Maaser, and at worst he has to do tshuva and he needs kapora for a person who is miskaving lechel bosar chazir viola biyado bosar tle, meaning he's chai for his machshov, but not for a maisa vera.
Some people hold that they don't do tshuva on the rabbanan ever, as b'shagim.
Oh, right, the nesivus. Yeah, that's the famous chiddush of the nesivus. Yeah, but
yeah, okay, he's not going that way.
But we're talking about a mazid here, as far as I know. I'll tell you why I think we're talking about a mazid, because his whole discussion is about a machshava lechel basar chazir.
I got it. And
I think even the Nesivus would agree that if you were a mazid on the Drabbanan, you certainly need kapara.
No.
And the Chiddush of the Nesivus is if
the
it was
a... on the Drabbanan and it didn't happen, you need tshuva because of the thought you mean.
Correct. The Nesivus is
Shogig
has no element of mazid. He's talking about a case where there was a machsheves mazid, lechol basar chazir.
But it wasn't real. But it didn't.
Correct. It was only a machsheves, it didn't materialize. So in that case, I think even the Nesivus would say that Vashem Yislach lo, that you need kapara. Or do we say no, says the Asma Daraisa? That in this case he was niskavi lechol basar chazir viochal basar chazir. Because the Rabbanan created a new din of tevel, which is called mai, and the Rabbanan, he ate tevel. And that's vada. The fact that in truth we find out, or kapish mai galia, that the seller had the mafresh maaser, that doesn't change the fact that the Rabbanan made this into tevel. This is an iser tevel b'divrehem, and therefore it's b'toras.
Just on the first scene, if in fact it was not us the Rabbanan and you tended to and you ate it, the kapara you need is not for the maaser, it's for the intent.
On the other side, on the second side, is that Rabbanan created this entity.
No. On the first side,
that it's only b'toras sofer.
Yeah, you intended to eat it, Rabbanan, and it wasn't. Then if you need to, you need not on what you did, but on what you thought you wanted.
Exactly. That's called, in the language of the literature, that's called Vashem Yislach Lo, which means that her husband was made for the neder. She didn't know then, she violated the neder. So Hashem Yisach Lo, she needs kapara, even though she
for
didn't do any aver.
For the mice, for
correct. Because Tafaris Abal is
Oculus.
She wanted
to be over.
Correct.
But not that she did.
She wanted to be over. So she needs that kapara. But she doesn't need kapara for mice aver, because the neder was batel. So she never violated the neder.
Yeah.
Here too, according to the first side of the Asvid Oraisa, he never ate tevel. The Rabbanu Wachoshish, maybe it is tevel. It turns out that it wasn't tevel. He lucked out. And therefore he doesn't need kapor for maisa vera, he needs for the machsheves chashav lechol basar chazir. But in the second side, the Asvid Oraisa assumes that mai is a separate isur d'rabbanon, irrelevant to what's klapish mayigal, he was mafresh, he wasn't mafresh, by the moker. And I think that fits in beautifully to the machlokas of the Rambam and the Ravid in Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, which the Gemara by analogy equates to Dmai. If in Yontif Sheni the Rambam holds Bisman and say Yontif Sheni is B'toras Vaday, then Dmai is B'toras Vaday. Then you have a kasha which Rava tries to address, why there's no bracha on Dmai, and there is a bracha on Yontif Sheni, but the bracha on Yontif Sheni is not a problem, no problemo, according to the Rambam. Mashenkin, if you go like the Ravid assumes that even Bisman and say Yontif Sheni is B'toras Sofek, and therefore the bracha can only be justified by Abai's logic of Kedesh lo yizalzalu bo. Dmai, therefore, ipso facto, is also b'toras safek. And if now he lucks out and it turns out that the original seller was mafrish, then the produce he ate was clearly chulin and not tevel, and therefore he doesn't need kapar from maisa vera on the second side of the asvin d'oraisa. So everything fits in to place over here. Until we open up the Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah. Now, why do I want to open up a Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah? Because, believe it or not, in Hilchas Chanukah, the Rambam has not only codified all the laws of Hallel, but he also gets into the discussion about whether or not you can make a bracha on a mitzvah midivrayim. And the Rambam writes, Per Gimel Halacha Gimel of Hilchas Chanukah, Afal Pisha Kriyas Ahal Mitzvah Midivrei Sofrim, Mevarech Alei Asher Kitshanu Mitzosu Mitzivanu, Kiderech Shemavarech Al Negila, V'Al Ha'eruv. I'm not sure why he doesn't mention Ner Chanukah.
Gimel
Hey.
Sorry.
Okay. Now the Rambam goes off on a tangent. And now that he's established that Hallel as a mitzvah midivrayim generates a bracha, he wants to know, why don't we make a bracha on Tmai? Says the Rambam, Shekol vadai shel divrayim mevarchin olav. Avol davar shehu midivrayim ve'ikar asiyosin lo mipnei hasafek kigon maisa Tmai ein mevarchin olav. When you mafresh maisa for Tmai, you leave out the bracha. Why do you leave out the bracha? Because it's a safek. No, that's very good. Now we know why the Brisa says that the Mafrish Maisim in Admai is Aruv. He leaves out the bracha. There never was a bracha because the Takon of Dmai is Takon of Safek, and in Safek you don't make a bracha. No, but now you're left with the Gemara's analogy to the Yontif Sheni, which was a Kash on Abaye. Why then? How do we justify Koit Abaye the bracha on Yontif Sheni? And guess what? The Rama mentions Abai's logic. The Loma Mavarchim al Yotiv Sheni frek the Rambam. The Haim Lotik Nua Elamifnei Hasafek. Yotiv Sheni is exactly identical with Dmai. And therefore, in both cases, they should have omitted the bracha. Why do they insist on a bracha Yotiv Sheni? Kadeshalo Yezalzalu Bo. And that's Abai's logic. This is very strange to me because. Maybe according to Rav Chaim, we'll come back to that soon, in his understanding of the Rambam, based on Perek Aleph, Nolta Bezeh, Mutas Bezeh, that's fine. It's me din Sofek. And then we're left with the question, what does Kadesh Ol Yizalzul Bo mean? But leaving out Rav Chaim the way we want to understand the Rambam, which is certainly the second side in the Asmin Doraisa, that the Rabbanon Bizman Hazeh created a Vadai, and we wanted to, by analogy, apply the Vadai of Yotiv Sheni Bizman Hazeh to the Vadai of Dmai. That Freshus Maisim and Dmai is Bitor's Vadai. Then how do we understand the Rambam? This Rambam is completely antithetical to everything that we've been saying until now. And I would again vouch or guess that this would be Rav Chaim's Rambam as a proof text that the Rambam Shita is that Yotiv Sheni Shel Golius is Betoras Sofek, and then you have to justify the bracha by saying Kedei Shelo Yizalzu.
What's your problem with Kedei Shelo Yizalzu?
I don't know, to make a bracha Kadesh Lo Yizalzu Bo, it bothers me a little bit, you know, how that works. You know, the Lamda Shekup wants to see some sort of gather here, you know, the mechanics. You know, it's a nice Musa Shmuz, you know, Kadesh Lo Yizalzu Bo, but therefore we're going to sacrifice a bracha on the Mizbeach, on the altar of God, you know.
It's like Moshe allows you to be Mechal Shabbos for the EMT people coming back, so that you shouldn't have hassle next week because you're on go.
Okay, that I can understand. Rabbi Moshe might insist that we have a broader definition of pikuach nefesh, but here to say that you throw in a bracha kedesh al yizalzul bo, I'm a little bit perplexed.
They
by
don't
that.
Allow it to enter Shmini Atzeres.
Shmini Atzeres is yisuv yasvin and bracha lom vrachina. That's because of the tarti the sasu business. But you know, let's not get into that right now because halavai I should get by this. So I wanted to suggest the following. And anything I say, again, it's out there for you to either accept or reject, and you're the jury out there, and you decide. I wanted to suggest the following. My own little svara here. Perhaps the Rambam holds that there's a difference between the reason for the takana and the geder ha-takana. Is that familiar to you? We've spoken about something like this in the past. Like when you may remember that we said in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that the reason why women are not obligated in tefillin, even though tefillin says, you know, it says Zechel Yitzis Mitzrayim in the parash of tefillin, and Afein Hoyu Bosa Nes. So Rabbi Moshe says, because even though the background for tefillin is Yitzias Mitzrayim, but the mitzvah itself, the Geder HaMitzvah, is not Yitzias Mitzrayim. I don't have anything in mind about Yitzias Mitzrayim. I fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. Here also, I'm wondering if we could say the following. The Rambam holds that the background, what I call the tam of Yontif Sheni Shel Golis, is Suffolk. The Rabbanu would never have dreamt and invented Yontif Sheni Shel Golios out of the blue, you know, a rabbit out of the hat, if not for the original Suffolk. So in that sense, we're accepting Reb Chaim that the gather of Yontif Sheni Shel Golis, even Bizvan Azeh, in terms of its tam, the Yesoda Takona, is Suffolk. And the Rambam holds that even though the Yesod is Safek, the Tam HaTakona is Safek, nevertheless, they gave Yontif Sheni a Din of Vadai, because the Safek no longer applies once they were Mekadesh Al Pi Cheshbon. So the Rambam wants to suggest the following, that with regard to Bracha, what mitzvah requires a bracha and what mitzvah does not, it all depends on the yesod hatakona, the tam hachiv. If the tam hachiv is safek, then the Rambam holds that in such a case they weren't mesakin a bracha. Again, even though as I implement the mitzvah of Yontif, I do so b'toras vadai, it is no longer a safek b'zman hazeh, but since the original tam of the takana was a safek, therefore it doesn't deserve a bracha. Why? No, the Rambam says only kadesh shelo yizalzel bo, but otherwise, and for example in Dmai, again Dmai, like Yontif Sheni, is b'toras vadai, but since the yesod, a takana, was safek, therefore you don't make a bracha. And indeed, the Rambam asks the kasha, let's go back to the Havamina of the Rambam, Yontif Sheni does not deserve a bracha either. And he gives a reason for whatever that reason is, shelo yizalzel bo. Now, what do I mean when I say that the yesod hatakana is safek? So I'm going back now to the Asvin D'Oraisa. He says the following. There's a sugi. What just happened? There's a sugi in Chulin, and on Daf Vav, this is the famous sugya of Chamoro Shel Pinchas Beit Yair. Anyway, the Gemara tells a story about Rav Zera and Rav Asi. They came to an inn, and the innkeeper put some yayin in front of them, and Rav Asi went ahead and he drank the wine. So at that point, Rav Zera asked the Akasha, maybe there's a mixture of Dmai in the yayin. And the Gemara says that perhaps even if there's a mixture of Dmai, the Chachamim did not prohibit Dmai in a case of Tarovis. So if I have the grapes that are being sold to me by an Amoretz, that's Dmai. I don't know if he was Mafresh Maaser or not. But if I take those grapes and I soak them in water, now I have a Tarovis. Again, you have to know laws of Tarovis here, that's not for us now. Then Dmai is not us. This is not midin bittul, but the Rabbanu never asked Dmai in a tarofis. And the Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. How do I prove to you that the Rabbanu did not prohibit Dmai in a tarofis? From the fact that Rav Asi drank the wine. What does that mean? Rav Asi didn't know that it was Dmai. So the Gemara says, Hashta behemta shel tzaddik v'ena kodesh baruch maybe takol yideyem is tzaddikim lo kolshke. It couldn't have been a takola. Says Rav Yosef Engel, what do you mean it could have been a takola? He ate Dmai. If you're telling me that there's a din of Dmai even b'tarovus, because again, you want to prove to me, I'm right resisting it, that there's no din of Dmai b'tarovus. I resist it. There is a din of Dmai b'tarovus. Dmai is Tevel. like any machlos asuris, it's also v'tarovus. What's the difference if it's not the end, if it's v'tarovus? So you want to prove to me, no, it must be heter, correct? Why do you? How do you prove to me it must be heter? Because he couldn't have been in violation of a takola. Says Rav Engel, I'll tell you why he's not in violation. I can give you another explanation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supervision over the world is so great to protect the tzaddikim from a mitzvah. Then this Amoretz, who put the wine, you know, the Baal HaKsadya, who put the wine on the table, he was Mafrish Maser. Rav Amoretz Maser Imeh. Who... How can you justify the Gemara's proof that there's no din, no Isur Dmai B'tarovus? There is an Isur Dmai B'tarovus, but this, it turns out, Mafreya, we find out Kapi Shvaya Galia, that this Mocher, it's not a Mocher in this case, the Baal HaKsadya, he himself was Mafrish Maaseh. Teretz is, says the Asmido Raisa, the fact that the Amoritz, the Baal HaKsadya, was Mafrish Maaseh, that doesn't remove the Isur Dmai, because Isur Dmai is there, whether or not there was Afrash or not. It's a whole new Issa Dmai that the Rabbanon created, Tevel Mid Rabbanon. And therefore, how could it be that Rav Asi would have violated an Issa Drabbanon? The answer is that this is not Dmai because it's Bitarovas. I tell you, you have to be Einstein to figure this all out.
Except for but even so, since he's an Amoritz, why did he drink it when it was Bistam Yena?
He didn't know he was an Amoritz. He found out later. The whole thing was shachach.
Yeah, but the Kosh who saved Sadiqim from Averis.
Yeah.
So how come he let him eat the Stam Yenim?
Wait, Stam Yenim has to do with non-Jewish wine. This guy was Jewish.
They refer for Mechal of Shabbos also.
I don't think so. You know, the Chazanish says not like that.
Amoritz isn't Mechal of Shabbos.
Right, Amoritz is not a Mechal Shabbos, but even a Mechal Shabbos, I'm not sure that his wine is also. You're familiar with a certain sociology, but the Chazon Ish says no. Even a Mechal Shabbos for Esia is wine you're allowed to drink, because it's only Mishum Chitun, and there's no Isur Chitun by a Jew. Okay, anyway, let's not get off on a tangent here, Rav Osai. I just want to show you that according to the Asvin Doraisa, the conclusion that we want to derive from the Sugyan Chulin is that this Dmai, which is Tevel Derabbanan B'Torah's Vadai, is a Cheftzah D'Surah that the Rabbanan created, unless B'Tarovus there was no Cheftzah D'Surah. I'm suggesting another possibility. And again, I have to deal with the Sugyan Chulin, but what I'm suggesting is that although there is a violation on the part of the Ochel, who ate the Dmai without being Mafrish Maaser, nevertheless, that Takola is only B'Toras Machsheves Avera. Okay, now you have the Nesivus, of course, but what I mean to say is that since the original Takon of Dmai was based on Sofek, the Rabbanan never instituted Dmai in a case of Vadai. So what I'm suggesting is that Eino Chinami, the Takana of Dmai is a Takanas Vadai. However, the Sofek is still relevant. Why is the Sofek still relevant? Why do I make this whole distinction that the original Machayev and the Tam of the Takana was B'Torah Sofek? Who cares? That's ancient history. Now it's B'Torah Vadai. The answer is it is relevant. Because if Lu Yitzur, we determine that the Mocher, or in this case, the Alexanya, actually was Mafrish Maaser, then the Rabbanan B'Chai Gavna would have never have instituted the Takana. So it's Goy Milsim afraid that the Takana doesn't apply in this case. Is Memela, the Rambam holds that therefore there should not be a bracha on Afrosh's Dmai. Why? Because Rov HaMeoretz Ma'asrim Heim, the chances are very good, excellent, that he, the Amoretz, was Mafrish Maaser. If he was Mafrish Maaser, then you went ahead and you made a bracha, then there was never a Chiv Drabbanon. So the Rabbanon had to do the following. They had to say the following. You go ahead and be Mafrish. I mean, Monach Shafi Afrosh is meaningful. Either it's meaningful or it's meaningless, but there's nothing lost. It's a win-win situation. But if you're going to go ahead and make a bracha, then it could be, as the Asvin D'Oraisa's other tzad in his Sofek, is that he gloyed Milsim Afreya, that there was never Dmai here, because in fact he was Mafrish, and therefore it's Chulin, and it's not Tevel. How can you go ahead and make a bracha in such a case.
And the bracha that he makes that we talked about, which bracha would he make?
That bracha, says the Rambam, cannot be made. Why? Because it's sofik shel devarim. Either Rabbanu mechayiv you to be mafrish, and that chiyuv is a chiyuv vaday, like yontif sheni shel golus is vaday. The Rambam answers that, you know what? We can't play around with a bracha. Why? Because the original takana was b'toras sofik. And now I think I can be medayik this in the language of the Rambam. Look at the Rambam's language. He says, Avol davar shehu mi divrayim ve'ikar asiyason lo mipnei asofek. I think that ve'ikar asiyason, and the Rambam is very verbose here, is to tell you that why did the Rabbanim be'ikar atakona, why did they make this takona, was mipnei asofek. And if somehow we could clarify the suffix, then there would be no dmai. So how can you make a bracha in a situation, you're throwing yourself into a situation where you may be able to clarify the suffix, and then the bracha turns out to be a bracha of atala. Nu lama varchim al yontif sheni. Nu yontif sheni is also mitaris vade. What bothers the Rambam? So if I'm saying that Yontif Sheni is b'toras vaday, but we now came to the conclusion based on Tvai that if the original takana was made because of Safek, that's a different kind of takana. We have two categories of a takana. We have a category of a takana which is b'toras, a category of a takana which from the very ikar ha-takana, meaning the sibas ha-takana, was vaday. And we have another kind of takana with the sibas ha-takana with safek. In both cases, the Rambam holds the takana is b'toras vaday. And therefore, both in Dmai and in Yontif Sheni, the takana is b'toras vaday. The Rambam, however, says that since the ikar takana and what motivated the chacham was a safek, such a takana doesn't deserve a bracha. No, in fact, the Rambam, if that be the case, why does Yontif Sheni get a bracha? The reason for the takana was the original safek. And for the Rambam, kadesh lo yizalzulubo. What's kadesh lo yizalzulubo? So I want to suggest the following. That if we're going back to the ikar takana, then we have a fascinating distinction between Dmai on the one end and Yontif Sheni on the other. Dmai remains on its own. Yontif, on the other hand, is a mitzvah, midivrayim, Yontif Sheni, that is rooted in what? In the Kedusha Sayyam. Do you follow what I'm saying? There's a framework here. It's not just a separate maisa, you know, I'm going to eat the matzah, and I'm going to make kiddush, and I'm going to dab musaf, and I'm going to eat the maror. No. The entity of Yontif Sheni is Kedusha Sayyam. What is the method or the instrument by which we can declare the Kedusha Sayyam? The bracha. The bracha itself becomes the flag that waves and declares the Kedusha Sayyam. So the Rambam holds that both Dmai and Yontif Sheni in the original Sibas HaTakana, what I call the Yesod HaTakana is Sofei, the Geder HaTakana is Vadai, and since it's the Geder Vadai, the Rambam holds that there's no possibility of Hasna in Yontif Sheni. Dmai is also a Vadai. There should have been a bracha on Dmai, but the Rambam says there's no bracha on Dmai because the Ikar Takana in its motivation from the get-go was Sofek. That's already a different type, a different character or essence of Takana. And therefore it doesn't deserve a bracha. Says the Rambam, but in the case of Yontif Sheni, despite the fact that it equals Dmai, and it doesn't deserve a bracha because it was originated and rooted in a Sofek, nevertheless they were masaking a bracha in order to publicize and emphasize that this is a day that's endowed with Kedusha Sayyom. The Kedusha Sayyom, Midrabanon, now replaces the original reason for the Takana. We have a new reason for the Takana. Why am I making Kiddush? Why am I eating matzah? The answer is because the day is endowed with Kedusha Sayyom.
That's a change. And that was, they did the Kedusha Sayyom because of the suffix. But now you're doing the mitzvah
because of the Kedusha Sayyom. The Kedusha Sayyom now, it's a chain. The Kedusha Sayyom now becomes an independent, original machayev. It bounces off and generates a chiyuv in and of itself. And that chiyuv is b'toras vaday.
And then you said something else that the Kedushas Hayom is established through the bracha?
That the bracha itself is a demonstration of the Kedushas Hayom. The bracha becomes an agent.
Do you need that? Do you need what you're adding?
Well, I needed it for the next shtickle Torah, but great. But wait a minute, let me think for a second. Maybe you're right. That if now the bracha is rooted in the Kedush Sayyom, and the Kedush Sayyom,
so to speak, which is
right, right. So the answer to your question is as follows, that maybe I went a little bit too far, because I said that the Kedush Sayyom is Vadai. Maybe the Kedush Sayyom in and of itself was originated by the Sveika Diyoma, and therefore the Kedush Sayyom also falls short of the power to generate a bracha, and if I need the bracha, Kedei Shalo Yizalzulu Bo. And as the bracha becomes the agent to establish the Kedushas Hayom.
My point is that really saying that it's Kedushas Hayom is just another way of saying Shalo Yizalzulu. It's
correct. That's what I'm saying. But it's not Kedei Shelo Yizalzu the way you understood Kedei Shelo Yizalzu, or the way I understood Kedei Shelo Yizalzu,
which is
that we're going to sacrifice a bracha on the altar of God for the sake of Kedei Shelo Yizalzu. But what meicha taste of such a thing? But the answer is that the bracha itself establishes the Kedushas Hayom, and that's what the Rabbanan have established here on Yom Tov Sheni. It's not just a mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, like Hafrashas Tmai. It's not just a mitzvah of Achilas Morar. It's not a separate entity, discrete, separate, independent Chiyuvim. No, it's one entity called Kedush Sayyom. That's where Bracha plays the role to declare the Kedush Sayyom. Where do I find such a thing? Rabosai, this is the second half of my Shtigl Torah. Where do I find such a thing that the Bracha establishes the Kedush Sayyom?
And that you can do without it.
Even though you could do without it, though you don't really have a justification of the bracha, really, according to the normal rules, regulations, you would omit the bracha. But the reason for the bracha is to demonstrate the Kedush Sayyom. Where do I find such a thing?
You can't have the Kedush Sayyom established without the bracha. They can't just be clear.
Correct. There's no Kedush Sayyom without a bracha. The bracha is the mechanism of Kedush Sayyom. Where do I find such a thing? So here I have a Ravid. Not in Hilchas Chanukah, although it also addresses the issue of Hallel, but rather arrived in Hilchas Brachos. And it's the very last comment of the Ravid in Hilchas Brachos. The Rambam says that we never make a bracha on a minhag, and therefore we don't make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh, on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, because Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is a minhag. And the Ravid writes, we will make a bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh. Why? Bibracha tiknua kidei lefarsimo shehu Rosh Chodesh. Literally translated, we need a mechanism to publicize that today is Rosh Chodesh. So if the Rebbe was in the room, I would show him that my very creative daughter made a flag. A beautiful, beautiful aesthetic flag. And then it says, today is Rosh Chodesh. Why do I need a bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh? Kedei lefarsim Moshe Rosh Chodesh. Let's set up foghorns from every rooftop and say, today is Rosh Chodesh. The answer is that what the Ravid wants to say is that the reason for the bracha on Hallel and Rosh Chodesh is because Rosh Chodesh is endowed with Kedushas Hayom. The Ramban's opinion is that the Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Chodesh is limited to the Beis HaMikdash, where the Torah says, "V'yom simchaschem uvrashchem uadichem," is the v'hariu bechatzotros, etc. But the Ravid says that what the minhag of Rosh Chodesh did and what it accomplished was to extend the kedushas hayom of Rosh Chodesh outside the bounds of the Beis Hamikdash, even into Gvul.
Rambam doesn't believe that at all.
So how does the Ravid achieve that goal? How can you take a day that's a secular day? There's no Issa Malacha, there's no Kiddush, there's no garnished. How can you make it into a day that's sanctified with Kedush Sayyom? Says the Ravid, the Brach itself. The Brach, Asher Kitshanu Mitzvosu V'Tzivanu, is a mechanism, an agent to create and establish the Kedush Sayyom. And I'd like to apply that to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. We need a way of establishing that this day is Yom Tov Sheni. How do we do it? With the bracha. If there's Yom Tov Sheni, if there's Kedush Sayyom, there's got to be a bracha. And that's the shita of the Rambam, Kidesha Lol is Alzulebe. The Rambam doesn't want to extend that to Rosh Chodesh. He doesn't believe for one moment that there's Kedush Sayom on Rosh Chodesh. The Ravid, on the other hand, holds the Kedush Sayom on Rosh Chodesh. Where's the Kedush Sayom? In Migdash. What mitzvah do we have in Migdash? We have a mitzvah of Shira, we have a mitzvah of Nisuch Hayayin, we have a mitzvah of Karban Musa, fine. But what about outside the Migdash? That was the power of the Minhag. The Minhag has the power to engender a Kedush Sayom. Where do you find that the Minhag could engender a Kedush Sayom? Yantif. Yantif Sheni Shal Goli, as the Gemara says, is Minhag Avoseichem B'yedchem. That Minhag can generate a Kedush Sayom. Says the Ravid, if the Minhag generates the Kedush Sayom, then you must have a Brach. The Rambam is willing to say, well, it depends what kind of Kedush Sayom you have. If you have a Kedush Sayom of Isa Malacha, which the Minhag establishes on Yantif Sheni, that requires a Brach. But not the Kedush Sayom of Rosh Chodesh outside of Mikdash. Where's the Isa Malacha? There's no Kedush Sayom here. There's nothing tangible. The Ravid says no. If Hallel itself is a reflection of the Kedush Sayom, then I need the bracha in order to establish and demonstrate the Kiddush Sayyid.
I'll bring it right to what you're saying.
I have to say Shachiyonu now. This is after how many years we're learning together.
If you're right.
I never heard it bring a riot to me. Right. This is
Vav Yishai. Right.
I'm Pasha B'Simcha G'dayl. Hold on, Reish Lakish.
The riot is Shmini Atzeres. It's aim of Archinan because you don't need to be ordered. You already have Kiddush Sayyid because of Shmini Atzeres. It's Shmini Atzeres as well as being the Shmini Shel, as well as being it's Simchas Torah and Shmini Atzeres. So it already has Kedusha on its own because of the Atzeres, and it doesn't need the Bracha Yom Tov Sheni. So there.
But what are we talking about? We're talking about Hallel, or you're talking about Sukkah?
No, I mean Sukkah.
Well, you're talking about Sukkah. In other words, we're not going to make a bracha on the Sukkah,
right?
Because it has the Kedush Sayom of a regal b'fnei atzmo.
That's right. That's
we've
right.
Already left
so
the
we're
Sukkah.
We're not worried about Zilzel, and because we're not worried about Zilzel, so we don't have to have a special bracha to give it to
right. Maybe there the Sukkah is just a separate, independent Maisa Mitzvah B'Torah Sofei.
That's right.
Maybe it's Shmini. It's the seventh day of Pesach of Sukkahs.
Yeah.
I have to sit in Sukkah.
Right.
It's like Dmai. I have to be Mafresh Dmai because of that separate Chiyuv of removing Tevel on the
exactly.
Tzad. That maybe.
But I
don't have any element of Kedusha Yom, and if I omit the bracha,
right?
Sounds good. I like it, especially if it's a riot to what I said. Now I have here a note, and again maybe Yechiel could help me to decipher this. You heard of the Tumim, Rabbi Yonis and Ivishitz.
Yes.
So somewhere, I don't know where, the Tumim says the following. I'll read to you the language. HaTorah hitira safe gezel. He's talking about Bari Vashema Lav Bari on the float. So you tell me, Burr's on, you borrowed $1,000 from me. And I say, maybe I paid you back, maybe I didn't pay you back, maybe I borrowed, maybe I didn't borrow, whatever the case may be. So the halacha is lav bari odif. Frekta tumim, but if I don't know whether I owe you the money. If I owe you the money, then I'm a gazlan, right?
Right.
So he says, b'torah safe gezel, how can I maintain ownership, possession over this money? Satora hitira safek gezel kemoshi hitira safek arla b'chutz laretz. We have aloha moshi b'sinai that all is also in chutz laretz, and safek is mutter in chutz laretz. Here too, I don't know where the aloha moshi b'sinai is, but the Torah was matir safek gezel. Now, I don't know what he means by safek gezel. I don't think I'm allowed. Let's say you put down something on the table. I don't know if you were mafkir, and you are a mafkir. Am I allowed to take it for myself and I say safek zela? No. But in a case where there's a safek zela that comes to be motzi mechezkasi, you know, I'm already muchzak on it, and the question is, do I have to pay you for it? Then there's some sort of a heter of safek zela. And finally, yeah.
Isn't that similar like you find a metzia without a siman, and
you're allowed to keep it?
Yeah, I mean, we're assuming there's yayush.
If you assume there's yayush.
Yeah, but it can be yayush. It's still suffix zela.
Ah, so then I would. I don't know if you're allowed to take it in the case of suffix. That's a big suya. That's called suffix inuach. There's a tour, there's a Rambam, it's labor.
Yeah,
I don't have that in the tip of my fingers, but in a case where, let's say, Adam mamashmish bekiso bechol shav shah, then we say that I know there's yesh.
Right, but if in a place where you don't know there's yesh,
then I don't know if you're allowed to take it. That's a big sin.
I mean, we're assuming yesh, and Rabbanim's.
Right, but again, the assumption of yesh, I think, requires a rov or chazak or something. You know, it's not, you can't just assume yesh. Finally, to complete our study of Din Vade and Din Suffolk until I find some more sugyas, I found a beautiful piece here in the Griz Ala Rambam, and Rav Velvel here quotes a sugya in Krisus. Now, as you know, a Yoledes has to bring a Karban Yoledes, and until she brings a Karban Yoledes, she's not allowed to eat Kodshim, she's not allowed to enter into the Beis HaMikdash. That's called Mechusrei Kapara. One of the four Mechusrei Kapara is a Yoledes. The Gemara wants to know what happens in a case where you have two women and there's a Safek Leda for both of them. Hipilu. Now there's something called the Hapol of a Mimin Chiyuv and a Min Ptur. So there were two Apollos here, and the stillborn babies got mixed up. We don't know which one belongs to which of these two mothers who gave birth. One of them has passed the period of time, and therefore it's 2 months later. The other has not, and they can't recognize it. So what do we do in this case? There's a karban that has to be brought to be matir achilas kodshim. Who's going to bring which karban? So Rabbi Yehuda says something very simple. They should bring one karban in unison, and they should make a t'nai. And each one should say the following. If you're the one who's chayeves in the carbon, it's your carbon. And I remove my ownership of the carbon. If it's me, then it's my carbon. And the chachamim say no. And the Brisker Rav asked his father, why did the chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? The logic of Rabbi Yehuda is so compelling. And the Rambam indeed passes like the chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda. And the psak is that each one of these two ladies has to bring a korban, what's called a chatas ha'ov, for yoledes. And the korban is not nechal. We can't eat it, because again, each korban individually is brought, respected by one of these two women, and we don't know which one is actually the korban. Because which one is the real mechuyeves, and therefore we can't eat the korban.
I can't bring a chatas ha'ov, Sophie.
Oh, so you're talking about a Karban Asham? Asham Toli? Yes. Asham Toli is only...
Not Asham Toli, it's like a Chata.
Oh, so this is called a Chatas Ha'of Haba'al HaSofek. So each one of these two ladies brings a Chatas Ha'of Haba'al HaSofek, and there's no Achil of the Karbanos. So the Brisker Rav wanted to understand, why do we have to bring two Karbanos? She brings a Chatas Ha'of on a Sofek, she brings one on a Sofek, we can't eat either of them. Why not have them joined together as Rabbi Yehuda has it, and as partners in one single karban, they make it tonight, and everything is fine. So he says, Shamati me avi adoni avi mori hagon zatzal. Sha'amar. Mizem muchach. From this sheet of the Chachamim, increases daf zayin, we prove, the din chatas ha'of ala safei ka'omur b'mechuser kapara, Hulav hetera bialma lahavi carbon ala suffik. It's not that the Torah said that even though, as a general universal rule, you're not allowed to bring a carbon on a suffik, but here the Torah says chatas ha'ov can come even for a suffik, will allow it. Kidei, and what's the greater good that the Torah had in mind? The purpose, the goal was kidei sheyochal kodshim, in order to bring the mechusa kapar, because otherwise she can never eat kodshim, there's always a suffik. Ki im, but rather that's not the pshat. Du be'emes din chovas karban shatora chivosa lahavi karban ala suffik. That the suffik itself engenders a separate chovas karban. And he says, v'chatas ha'of ala suffik b'mechusa kapari alfinan le me'oshim toli v'hu karban vadai. The chiyuv is a chiyuv vadai. So again, let's just review. The Reb Chaim has sugya nazir that the chatas ha'of habol ha'sofek is derived from Asham Tolu. He says Reb Chaim, to the same extent that the Torah was mechayev me in the case of sofek and Asham Tolu, and that's a carbon habol ha'sofek, and that's nechal. It's not a Sofik Chulin, it's a Vare Kodshim. Here too, in the case of Chatos HaBoala Of, Chatos Of, excuse me, HaBoala Sofik, the Torah said that in the situation of Sofik, say the Chacham against Rabbi Yehuda, she has a Chiyuv to bring a Korban Vadai, which is called Chatos Of. So now Rav Chaim has to ask himself the following question. If it's a Korban Vadai, then just like an Oshan Toli is Nechal, then a Chatos HaBoala Sofik should be Nechal, Chatos Of. He says, "Upozech halukim hei me'adodi, the hasam b'karban asham, where the machayev is what? Is the sofeh gam ha'karban atzvo hu karban vadai, v'nechal. Masha'enken, that's my own addition. Aber b'chatas ha'of, ha'karban hu machmas ha'sofeh, v'ha'karban atzvo hu karban shel sofeh, v'eino nechal. Le'in ha'chova, Yeshlanu Yalfusa Rezu Yalfusa Gemura Miyashem Tolui Di Chayeves Lavi Karbon Ala Sofik. It's a Chiv Gavra B'Toris Vadai. But the Chefta Shal Karbon, again, that's my language, the Karbon itself is a Karbon of Sofik. Is Sfirle the Rabbanon Dechol Achas Mechuyeves Lavi Karbon Fnei Atzma Al Sveika. Each one has a Sofik that generates a Chiv Karbon, and she can't get away with it by being Mishtatev with someone else. She has her own personal obligation. Ushtem tzrichas lavi chatas ha'of ala sofek. V'lo yaviu shtem chatas achad v'yisnu alav. So Rabosai, this is what I wanted to suggest based on this Reb Chaim, that Reb Chaim holds that yontiv sheni shel golius, the machayev is sofek, but the chiyuv is b'toris vadai. Oh, however, now we have the following chakira. When you say the chiyuv is b'toris vadai, how do you interpret that? Do you define that the same way that you define oshem tolui, or do you define it the same way you define chatos ha'of ha'bola sofek? Rav Chaim understood that it's mamish chatos ha'of ha'bola sofek, and the whole business from beginning to end of yontiv sheni shel golius is a sofek. However, within the context of the sofek, we can still apply the logic of nolda b'zeh muteris b'zeh. But not with regard to Asnoa, only because we're stuck with the problem of Yontif Rishon, which is now Vadai to Oraisa. But Reb Chaim understood, if my Havan is correct, that the din, the status of Yontif Sheni Shel Golius, is Bitoras Sofik. It's not just the Machayim is Sofik, but the entity of Yontif Sheni and the observance of Yontif Sheni is Bitoras Sofik. And therefore, Reb Chaim is very smooth in Hilchas Chanukah that the Rambam would say a Sofik Shel Devarim doesn't generate a bracha, and then we have Lo Yizalzelu Bo, whatever that means. But perhaps we can suggest that the Rambam holds that Yontiv Sheni Bizman Hazeh has the status of a Chovas Vadai, although again the original Takana is Sofik, and therefore it has the din of a Chovas Vadai Machmas HaSofek. And the Rambam holds that since this Takana of Yontiv Sheni B'Toris Vadai is Machmas HaSofek, therefore it doesn't deserve a Bracha. However, in the case of Dmai, not only was the original Takana B'Toris Sofek, but even within the context of the Chova, the Chova splits up into two. The Chovas Gavra is a Chovas Vadai, but the Chefta Shel Dmai is a Sofek. And it's exactly equivalent to the carbon of Chatas Of Habola Sofek. And then Afkamina is going to be that if we find out later on that indeed the Balabais was Mafish Maaser, then we go back to the first side of the Asman Doraisa. Namely, he only is liable under the law of Machshava, but not under the Maisa. The Maisa itself was not a Maisa Avera, because the Chefta Shel Dmai is a Chefta Shel Sofek. Aye, the Rambam holds that the Chov is a Chovas Vadai, and they only remove the Bracha because the original Takana was by virtue or generated by the cause of Sofek, but it's a Chovas Vadai. The answer is no. It's a Chovas Vadai because of the Sofek, and the Chefta Shel Dmai is a Chefta Shel Sofek. And now that we found out that indeed the Balabais was Mafrish, then he didn't violate any Isur whatsoever. He didn't eat Tevel, because the Tevel is not Tevel, because it was a Tevel Shel Sofek, and now we clarified the Sofek. Well, but he has to bring a car, he has to be Miskaper because of the Makshel.
But then when you're Mafrish, when you're Mafrish on Dmai, What do you do with it?
I'm not sure what you do with it.
I'm not sure talking about his mother there.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any din of...
you have to give it to the Kohen?
No, I don't think so. It's just a separate Chiyuv HaFrosha. We have, you remember we discussed Chalas Chutzlaretz. The Chalas Chutzlaretz is just a separate Chiyuv HaFrosha. There's no,
there's no
Matana.
You have to burn it then.
Yeah, well, that has to do with Kedushas Chal. I don't know if that applies to Masros. You know, Masros is
cool. What do they do with it?
I guess you just put it on the side. Or maybe, I don't know. We could look that up if you like. Okay, Rabbi, now...